Hello, my friends, and welcome to the first ever episode of Holy Shift. It's called that because, well, firstly, it makes me laugh. And secondly, you'll see that there's an underscore to Holy Shift, and it says exposing truth. And if I'm honest, I was very reticent. I still am, to do a podcast. But I was reminded a little while ago, who are we to stand in the way of whatever it is God might want to do? And so I thought I'd give this a go and share some thoughts with you on life, truth, at least as I see it to be, and some of my journey through the Word of God and things I've learned. And so today I want to talk about a couple of things that really make me think. So I'm lucky enough to have a mentor in my life, a guy called Derek. He's a Scottish man. And hopefully one day he'll be on this very podcast. But he shared this bit of scripture with me a while ago, and it really stuck with me and made me question my own perception of truth. And so let me share that with you. It comes from John 8. And it's a short passage. It goes like this. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. And placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now, in the law, Moses' law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What do you say?" I just want to pause there for a second, because this is kind of a weird biblical version of the Scarlet Letter. If you've ever read the book Scarlet Letter, it's about this woman who kind of gives birth to a child out of wedlock and refuses to give up the name of the father. But because of this and the sort of pious society that she's part of, she's forced to wear a dress with the letter A, a red letter, Scarlet Letter A, sewn onto this dress. And not only that, every day she's supposed to stand on scaffolding for 3 hours, and she's ridiculed and mocked and humiliated for her actions. And it's interesting to me how similar that is to these Pharisees who pull this woman, you know, certainly in this time, it's unlikely that women, children, had many rights. And so you can imagine the scene, these very holy men who drag this woman out of her possibly act of adultery in front of Jesus. And this passage says Jesus is busy teaching, you know, as he often was, busy teaching a crowd. And so let's kind of pick it up there, because they said this to him. So what do you say, as they bring this woman to him? What do you say? And they obviously said this to him to test him, that they might have some kind of charge to bring against him. And this is fascinating. So Jesus bends down and writes with his finger on the ground. Now that's, just that alone is a couple of interesting observations here. One, people often dispute the authenticity of the Bible or accuracy of it. I wonder, with weird little details like this, you know, he bends down and writes on the ground with his finger. Why would you make something like that up in the Bible? It just wouldn't. It seems so insignificant. It, by the way, doesn't say in this passage what he was writing on the ground. I'm sure many scholars have tried to figure out what it is he was writing. I think it doesn't matter. There is an interesting bit, though. If you read some of the commentary around this passage, it's suggested that this act of bending down, writing on the ground, is supposed to be almost disregarding what else is going on, sort of bored by what else is happening at the time. And so one might argue that Jesus bends down, whilst he's teaching this other crowd, and the Pharisees again, as they typically do, come to him with this challenge. Jesus bends down and writes in the sand, and as they then continue to ask him, he stands up. Presumably at this point, kind of eye level, looks at them. And he says to them, I tell you what, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. Whew. Man, he's good. It's good. And then he bends down again and he writes on the ground, as if almost to say, guys, I'm bored, really. Really? Is this all you've got? But that statement is fascinating. Kind of leveling with them and saying, you've brought her, you've accused her in front of me and certainly in front of a whole bunch of people, much like this woman in the scarlet letter, brought up on scaffolding on some kind of pedestal. Look at the shameful act. Would you judge her in front of everybody? Of course, if you agree that the law states this, then she'll be publicly stoned, and her blood technically will be on your hands. Of course, if you don't agree, then are you refusing to abide by the law of Moses, which you publicly advocate should be kept? So when they heard this, they went away, one by one, beginning with the older ones, it says. And Jesus was left alone with this woman standing before him. Probably not alone, given the crowd that was with him, but certainly in that setting, once all the Pharisees had left, it was him and this woman, one on one. Just so typical of how Jesus meets with us, right? So here you are. And he stood up again and he says to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? Other translation says, where are your accusers now? And she says to him, no one, Lord. Just imagine the scene and that level of shame. No one, Lord. And then Jesus says to her, and this is where I think the nugget of truth lies. Well, then neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. Oh, man. Just, I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. And how fast are we to condemn as a church, as people? It's an easy thing, it seems. I'm reminded by some of the articles I've read recently and a couple of years ago, when rap music became a real big thing, and steadily as it gains onward momentum and popularity, some churches are quite outspoken about it. It's all about how, you know, this is against the good message of love. It poisons minds, young minds. It's all sorts of bad, terrible things. But clearly what the church is missing here is the question I believe God would have asked. Perhaps Jesus would have asked. Imagine they bring rap music to Jesus, full of profanity and pain and loss and hurt and vulgar and all these things. I think, Jesus' question, first response, would not have been, "Oh, ban all rap music, this is terrible," but rather, "Hey, what's going on? What's going on behind this? People who are writing this, people who are feeling this level of pain, people who see the world in such a dark, lost way." And by the way, not all rap music is dark and lost. Some, I guess, is. But I think his question would be, "Oh, man, how can I help these people? How can I love them? Because something's hurting. And I think therein lies the truth of the love of Jesus, the love of God. Not the sense of, "I condemn you." He says to this woman, "I don't condemn you. Now go and leave your life of sin." So fascinating. The truth then, I think, is it's God's truth, right? There is only ever one version of the truth. It can only ever be that. Not multiple interpretations of it, just one version of the truth. What's really interesting is in the scriptures, just before Christ, when he's being tried by Pilate, it says, and I think this is in John 18, it says, "So Pilate went outside to all the people," obviously who had gathered now with this spectacle that it's become, and he says to Jesus, well, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" He says to this crowd, "Well, what accusation do you bring? What has he done?" And they answered him, if this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Not really answering the question, but you know, if he wasn't doing bad stuff, we wouldn't have brought him here. So Pilate says to him, "Well, take him yourself, judge him by your own law." And the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. And so Pilate enters his headquarters again. He calls Jesus and he says to him, "So, Jesus, are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answers, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say this to you about me?" Oh man, Jesus, just so bold. Pilate answers, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom, it's not from here, man." And Pilate says to him, "Ah, so you are a king." And Jesus answers, "You say that I'm a king. But for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Let's just pause there for a quick second. You're often asked this question, you know, what's the deal with Jesus? Why is he here? Why did he come? And so on. He makes it pretty clear. I have come to bear witness to the truth. Not a truth, not my truth, not your truth. The truth. And friends, I'm hoping that perhaps through this podcast, you can help me discover some bits of truth in the world that we live in the lives that we lead. Because the Bible is a wonderful, wonderful resource. Wisdom and guidance and history and all sorts of things. But the world is complicated. And situations seem unique for us to work through. And I'm hoping that as we dig into some of these things, we can discover God's truth. We can effectively expose the truth, the real truth. And in so doing, make a holy shift. It makes me laugh. I'll close off with this. So after Jesus has this incredible kind of movie one-liner, you know, for this reason I've come to bear witness to the truth. Pilate says to him, and what is truth? And one would expect that this now erupts in a big debate. And this is my truth and your truth and you don't know and I don't know. And who are you to tell me? But after Pilate says to him, well, what's truth? It says that he went back outside to the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in him. And he leaves. He doesn't engage this conversation. How foolish. What is truth? And my friends, I'm hoping that we can explore that together a little bit. What is truth? In the lives that we lead, how do we stay close to this thing? So, if you like the podcast, let me know. Send me an email. I think my details are somewhere in the base of this podcast. But I have started an email account. I think it's aholyshift@gmail.com. Pop me a note if you want to chat about anything, then let's do that. Otherwise, I kind of will leave you with this short prayer until next time. Father, thank you. Thank you that you sent your son Jesus to come and bear witness to the truth. It seems that sometimes the world confuses what truth really is. And it's clear to me, God, that there's freedom and liberty in understanding your truth. I suspect if we dig deep enough, we will find a father heart of love. Would you help us, Lord, as we dig into some of these passages and just talk about life in general? Help us to expose some of the truth. We might live in your freedom. Thank you for sending your son, Lord. Thank you for your truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.